Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Flat Springs Baptist. We're so excited to have you all here with us this morning to worship with us. If you are visiting with us this morning, we would just ask that you look in the pew in front of you in the little box. There's a little piece of paper that you can fill out to tell us a little bit about you, and if you'll just drop that in the offering plate when it comes by. I do have a few announcements to pass along to you all this morning. For the youth, there will be no journey tonight. And then youth boys, we will be going fishing on Tuesday morning. So if you will meet here at the church at 8 a.m., we'll be going on a little fishing adventure together. Also this Tuesday, there will be a nominating committee meeting at 6:30. And then also the trailer is parked right under here, under the shelter, for any donations that you would like to make for the Kentucky mission trip. Now let's turn our hearts and minds towards worshiping God. Like to keep in mind that the participants of the Kentucky mission trip that will be leaving Saturday, the participants will be Darlene Jackson, Gary McCullough, Justin Leonard, Luann Griffin, Peyton Griffin, Linda Hunt, Barbara Rosser, sorry, couldn't read that, David and Maureen Adcock. So we'll just pray for them and remember them this week. Okay. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for this day and for allowing us to come into your house to worship you. God, we just want to remember the participants that will be leaving to go to Kentucky this coming weekend, Lord. We just pray your hand of blessing over them as they travel and as they serve you in the coming week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Children, I want to remind you, when Taylor moves after the offering, you all start walking down here, particularly those that are in the back. Let's stand and sing 516, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder.
us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the privilege to come into your house and hear your word. Father, we're so thankful that you've returned Taylor and our youth and all the chaperones back to us safely. Father, we ask that you might bless those that will be traveling next week to go and help spread your word and show your love. Father, we ask that you might bless these tithes, these offerings. Help us, guide us, and direct us to use them to further your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you guys this morning? Good. Wow, that was a good response. Thank you. So do you notice anything different this morning? Anything in particular? Yeah, we're all wearing the same shirts. All these green shirts over here, right? This one right here, and Lydia has one on. Do you know why we're wearing the green shirts? No. Okay. Well, we went on a mission trip this past week. We went on a trip called Deep Impact, and we went to Rockingham, North Carolina. And Miss Lydia is going to tell you a little bit about our trip, okay?
Okay, guys. So this past Monday, the youth and me, we all traveled to Rockingham, North Carolina, and for Deep Impact. We stayed at First Baptist Church of Rockingham, and we served in the local communities of Rockingham, East Rockingham, and Ellerby. And what we did there was we did a bunch of different things. The youth group was divided into groups. And we either did children's ministry, senior adults, or construction. And we are so thankful that our whole church family was there supporting us with prayer and everything.
So I want to share a Bible verse with you guys this morning. This was our theme verse for the week while we were at Deep Impact. And it's from Galatians chapter 2, and it's verse 20. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So this week, we had the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus, to go and to serve and to love on people that we had never met before. And that's what God calls us to do. And so this week, as you go about your daily routines, I just pray that maybe you guys would find some opportunities to serve others, whether it's helping mom out with the dishes or helping her fold clothes or helping dad in the yard or whatever it may be. Look for some ways to help out people this week, okay? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for these kids that are here this morning, God. I thank you for the youth and for the great week that we had in Rockingham serving you. I pray that we would all look for ways to serve you this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Waking up in glory and finding it home. Now, I'm not trying to get up a busload, but to hear the heavenly choir sing with so many thousands of voices is just something that our finite minds cannot understand. One day, We will get to do that if we profess that Jesus is our Savior. Victory in Jesus. Let's stand and sing. Gusto. 426.
My servant David will be their king, and all of them will have one shepherd. They will live by my rules, and they will obey my laws. They will live in the land that I gave my servant Jacob, the land where their ancestors lived. They, their children, and their grandchildren will live in it permanently. My servant David will always be their prince. I will promise them peace. This promise will last forever. I will establish them, make them increase in number, and put my holy place among them permanently. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, have set Israel apart as holy, because my holy place will be among them permanently.
Wonderful passage. We know that God created this earth as a wonderful place, a beautiful place. We call it the Garden of Eden, and we know about the fall. And then we know God made a promise to Abraham, and Ezekiel just reminded Israel of that promise, of that land flowing with milk and honey, in a place where God would be God and we would be his people. As time has moved on and Christ came, we understand that one day Christ will come again. He really will. And he'll receive us unto himself. And today we're going to talk about glory. Glory that eye has not seen and ear has not heard. It is in the power of the promised land that we pray. We pray for needs that are around us, and our list is in your bulletin as you open it up. There are folks that we've added this week and some that have been there for a couple of weeks. There are some that are on our ongoing list that we ask you to pray for on a very regular basis. And then you see those on the mission field, and you may know of others that you could add. And all week I hope you'll be adding names. And I want to add one name because just about 30 minutes ago, Kevin Grumley got a call that his grandfather had passed away unexpectedly. And we want to be lifting that family up. The family will be in the Smithfield area where Mr. William Perry lived. And those arrangements, of course, will all be forthcoming. And we just want to remember that family in a very special way. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you created us on this earth for a purpose down here. And you made every earthly breath precious to us. And so when death comes, it does have a sting. It does bring pain and it does bring grief. And we acknowledge that. And we pray for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one. I want to pray especially now for the William Perry family and ask you to bless. Heavenly Father, when these bodies made of clay become ill and need to be repaired by medicine or by surgery or by therapy, you've told us to intercede on behalf of those who have such physical needs. And to pray, and so today we do. And Lord, if there was some way someone could make a scanner that when we walked in the door, it would scan us and show us the spiritual need, our spiritual condition today. Lord, there are some of us here that probably need to be in the intensive care unit. There's some of us, Lord, here that have walked in with a smile on our face, but a brokenness in our heart that you know all about. And so, oh Lord, today we pray for brothers and sisters with heavy hearts. We pray, Lord, for the battles that we struggle with every day, not against flesh and blood, but Lord, those battles against principalities and powers, the struggles for the decisions of our life, the struggles for the priorities in our life, the struggles for the investment of who we are into what we're doing. And that we might hear that call again when asked, What's the greatest command? You said to love you with all our heart and all our mind and all our strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. We are grateful for the work that you were able to do in Rockingham, and our prayer is, Lord, that there may well be someone that comes up to one of these youth in 100 years and say, part of the reason I'm in glory is because you went to Rockingham. And we pray for those that will be going to Kentucky, to a difficult section of your community, that we might be salt and light in your love and your grace, and be what you've called us to be, to do what you've called us to do. And we pray for the mission field that is on Deep River and Womble and Farrell Road and across Highway 1 and back toward Raleigh and Cary and Apex and back into Chatham County and back into Harnett County and down in Moore County and Lee County, Lord. We pray that we might understand that we are not in holding, but we are commissioned and on mission this week for you, to be sharing your grace and your love with a dying and a world that desperately needs hope and peace and heavenly love. And we pray, oh God, that you might give us that strength, that one day when we do wake up in glory, we'll realize that we're home. In Jesus' name we pray.
Lifting above, for he is my soul.
I love it when the music sets the bar high for the preaching. We'll see how it works out. Open your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 21. We've been talking for several weeks about salvation. We've said that it's a process, not an event, although it has an event within it. There is that moment when you know you're a believer. There is that moment when you know that God is at work in your life. So the question today is, are you ready for the last part, the glorification, the fulfillment, the completion of God's work? Well, I'm not getting a load up today, but are you ready? If everything that I've read is right, in a crowd this size, there are some of us here who maybe have been through baptismal waters and maybe have been in a lot of church services, but we've never really settled that sin debt with Christ. We've never really said, I know you're God, and I want you to have full control of my life. Before we read our text, I've got to remind you, in fact, our last verse will come back to what I'm going to read before I invite you to stand. I'm going to begin to read in Revelation 20, verse 7. It says, and when the 1,000 years was ended, Satan was released from his prison, and he came out to deceive the nations, Gog and Magog, and to gather them for battle. And you know this great battle of Armageddon, and the numbers like the sands of the sea, and they marched up over the broad plain of the earth, and they surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. Verse 10. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. And there they will be tormented day and night forever and forever. That's the end of the story. God will ultimately win. Don't think it's getting bad on God. He's got this. He's had this before he ever decided whether he'd put the Grand Canyon in North America or South America or Antarctica. He's got this. He's not confused. He's not less than he ever has been. He's got this. You got to drop down with me to verse 14. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. I didn't say that. That's what God's word says. The internet hadn't changed anything. Airplanes haven't changed anything. If we find out how to fly to Mars, we haven't changed anything. Not one jot, not one tittle of God's word will not be fulfilled. So I've got a question for us before we read our text today. Are you ready? Are you in that process known as salvation? Are you? We may have some 80-year-olds here who aren't ready. We may have some 70-year-olds here who aren't ready. We may have some youth that just got back from a mission trip, but really in your heart, you're not ready. Today, let's all get ready. Now, having given you the negative first, I want to give you the positive now. So if you're able, let me invite you to stand as we read the first 8 verses of the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation. And by the way, it's not Revelations. I always want to smack somebody when they say that. So far, I have resisted. It's only one revelation. It's only Jesus Christ and his victory in the world. There's not 100 revelations. There's one. And it's Jesus Christ. And this is the book of his life and his victory over it all. There's only one revelation. Don't ever say revelations, especially if you're near me, especially my left hand. Verse 21, chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Now, after giving that powerful negative word, listen to this positive word. And then, I love a then in text. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth, they had passed away. And the sea, it was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Can you see a wedding? And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with men. Did you hear what Lauren read in Ezekiel? I'll be their God. They'll be my people. The dwelling place of God is now with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. That's how it was in the garden. Go back and read Genesis 1. Verse 4. And he'll wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. Why? The former things they have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. You know you're going to be new. We're going to be new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and they're true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha, the beginning, and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give the spring of the water of life without payment. And the one who conquers will have his heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But John in this vision wanted to remind us one more time of chapter 20. So look at verse 8. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers and the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word and speak to our hearts through it. Would you pray with me? God, for a moment, take over our hearts and minds in such a way that you might change us. Lord, we don't want to just give you a handshake today. We want to give you a hug. We don't want to ask you just to speak to us. We want to ask you to go home with us. And God, we don't ask that you just touch us today. We want your power tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday as we go out to be your people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We started off talking about justification, the wrongs being made right. And then we talked about Jesus paid it all. And last week we talked about that process. And it is a process, sanctification. It is that process of making us what we aren't into what we ought to be. And you and I, we're on this journey together. But today, I want to tell you, there's a truth of how this salvation is going to end. And it doesn't matter what we might face between now and it. It doesn't matter if it's calamity, if it's national calamity, if it's worldwide calamity, if it's cosmic, there it is. I was going to cosmetology, and I don't think that was right. That might be a disaster too, but I don't know. A cosmic disaster. It doesn't matter if it's heart disease or cancer, whether it's murder, God's plan will not be thwarted. God's plan will will not be overcome. Paul reminds us of a hard truth, but a great truth when we think about it. You've probably heard this passage read at probably 75% of funerals you've attended. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable, this body that's made of flesh, that's perishable, inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. And so I'm telling you today, I'm preaching on something that I only have glimpses of myself, okay? There's a lot of mystery in what I'm fixing to tell you, but I'm just going to tell you the truth part of what I know, okay? Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed. So whether the Lord comes back and calls us up before we sing the final hymn today, and we split this roof and we take off toward glory, or whether we go by death, there's coming a moment when we'll all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trump will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on, I would call it the glorified body, the imperishable. And this mortal must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? To live in God's glory we call heaven, we've got to be fitted for it. Just as you need an earthly body to live on this earth, you're going to need a glorified body to live in the world that God has created us for. Because you see what makes us different from all the other critters on this planet is that you and I are created in the likeness of God. You and I are created in the image of God. You and I, back when God knelt down over Adam and breathed into his nostrils, the Hebrew word is the ruah, the breath of life. When he breathed into his nostrils and it says, man became a living soul, Neptune, a living spirit, a living creature, unlike every, that isn't how he created. He didn't blow into the rhinoceros's nose, and I know he's glad he didn't. He didn't blow into the elephant's nose. He didn't blow into the tadpole's nose. But us, he blew into our nostrils, the breath of life. It was as though it was a direct from his ruah to our ruah. And that makes us different, you and I. And that's the part of us. That's the real part of us. That's where we feel emotion. That's where we feel joy. That's where we feel peace. That's where we feel hope. That's where we feel love, even heavenly love. That part of us will one day be fitted in a glorified body. Well, what do we do with those stories of people who have glimpsed heaven? Richard and I were talking even this week about family, and I've been with other saintly people. Well, first thing I'd say about those who've glimpsed heaven, maybe you've read 90 Minutes in Heaven or some of those things, and amazing, aren't they? They're amazing glimpses. But I'd say that's what they are, they're glimpses. Now, I'm going to tell you theologically, I would argue that nobody's been to heaven, except maybe the Apostle Paul. And I don't know what to do with Lazarus for 4 days. I'm just going to give you that up. I don't know what happened to Lazarus for 4 days. But I want to tell you that if you think about it on one level, if we get to go to heaven and see a lot of stuff and then come back, we fool God. God thought we were really dead. Anybody have surgery this past week? I know we won't remember Shauna Hill, she did. They put you to sleep, but we don't come back and say, you know, I went to heaven. They were breathing for you while you were in that condition. You weren't breathing. They put a tube down your throat and breathed for you. And see heaven. What about those folks that glimpse heaven? I think God gives us spiritual glimpses. Maybe I would call it that model of heaven. Have you ever been to see a home set up? Wasn't your home. But it was one you could look at and see what it would look like and see what it would be like. I don't know. There's a lot of mystery here. And then I began to think, if Paul's right with that glimpse that he had, where he says, I cannot, has never seen it, an ear has never heard it, and the mind has never comprehended it, I got to thinking, how would you describe what steak tastes like to someone who's never eaten meat? Now, I know how you describe wild game to everybody. It tastes like chicken. That's all you have to say. And they're good to go. But if someone had never tasted meat at all, never, never, describe to them what a steak tastes like. You can't. They have no point of reference from which you can connect. It doesn't taste like asparagus. Doesn't taste like fruit. Doesn't taste like ice cream. Tastes like meat. And if you don't know what meat tastes like, I got nothing for you. I can't help you with that. Even if you had chicken, I might could work with that. But unless you've got something, it's impossible to describe heaven. I can't do it. I'm not even going to try. But I do want to tell you there's some things we do know. And I think maybe the best illustration I've used before, and I'm going to use it again. When it's the best, why would I give you less? Amen? And it's the best way I know, at least to get my feeble brain around the world to come. Stacy, I'm glad to see you here. And I'm kind of sad to see you here. We're waiting to have... Stacy's very pregnant right now, I'm telling you. She is like really, really any minute now. If she gets up and leaves, I'm going to say a little prayer right now. That's where we are. But I'm going to a world that you can relate to, maybe better than anybody else. And it's that world that I sometimes say was our first world. See, you and I, we've already been transformed from one world to another. How many of you here remember when you were swimming in your mama's womb? I hope nobody says I do. Because as far as I know, but I've probably given somebody a great book idea, and Google it before long, somebody will be telling you what I did while I was in my mother's womb. But I want to tell us, and I think we can relate to this, that was our world for 9 months. For 9 months, we lived in that world, or 8 months, or however long you were there. But you had no idea what a sunrise looked like. How could you describe to a baby in the mother's womb what a sunrise looks like? I don't think you could. You can't explain to them what it feels like to be walking on a North Carolina, humid, 95-degree day at 5 o'clock. You just can't describe that, because that baby's temperature has been the same from the moment it was conceived. And it's just swimming around in its mama's fluid, enjoying life. Doesn't know what it feels like to be hugged. Doesn't know what it's like to take a cool drink on a hot day. Doesn't know what chocolate ice cream tastes like. And how in the world could you describe chocolate ice cream to someone who's never had it? And they'd think I would be talking science fiction if I were to begin to describe an ocean, or the sand, or a forest, or the mountains, because they have no frame of reference whatsoever. Their whole 9 months on this planet, and by the way, they don't even know they're on this planet yet. They've never known what it was to jump or to even take a step, because all they've done is floated in their mother's fluid, enjoying life. Enjoying life. To speak of tears and disappointment or even a compliment would be a foreign language to them. Oh, that's right. They don't have any language yet. Foreign or any other kind. They've never heard an unmuffled word. If you were to go at 5 months and tell them that their world is horrible, they'd disagree. think the reason babies come screaming into this world when all is well is because they've just departed from the world they knew so well. And they've been thrust into a world that their eyes have not seen, their ears have not really heard. They could not experience it. Oh, you and I would agree, wouldn't we, that there's as much difference between living in the womb of our mother as there is living in the woods, or living in the city, or living on the coast, or in the mountains, or living in deep river. Just as we grow within our mother's womb to become ready to live in this world, you and I, we are to develop here right now. This is our challenge. This is what God is up to make us what we need to be, to allow us to develop, if you will, just like that baby is developing all of the organs and growing and the fingers and everything is coming into place. You and I are to be preparing for glory's day. Some say if heaven is so good, then why don't we get a load up today and go, because we're not ready, you or I. That's God's timing. He'll tell us when. I got to tell you one more thing the glory's not going to be, and I've got to hurry. You won't become an angel in glory. I don't care what social media says, okay? I'm sorry. You can Facebook it or Google it. You won't become an angel. That's a good thing. Because God didn't breathe into the nostrils of the angels the Ruah. He created them. They're His messengers. They're His servants. They're His slaves. You and I are greater than the angels. Go read Hebrews. So you won't get angel wings. I'm sorry. But I will tell you this. Although there's a lot of things I don't know what heaven is, I'm telling you a few things I know about it. As surely as there's as much difference between the mother's womb and this earth, there is more difference. There is more difference. Are you hearing me? There is more difference than this earth and the world God has prepared for you and I to spend eternity in. If He made this world this good for us to live here for just less than a century, what do you think He's got in store for eternity? Well, I can tell you some things about what heaven doesn't have that might help you understand why I know it's going to be better than anything we got here. There'll be no tears in heaven. There'll be no pain in heaven. There'll be no suffering in our glorified bodies. There'll be no sickness, no loss, no injury, no injustice, no wrong, no hatred, no prejudices. No dishonesty, no envy, no greed, no war, no betrayal, no murder, no infidelity, no hypocrisy. There'll be no stealing, no disrespecting. There'll be no death there. There'll be no grief. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no disappointment. There'll be no bad memories. There'll be no bad feelings. I know none of that will be there in God's plan. Well, what do we know? Well, I'm glad you asked. I love a song, and I heard it this week, and I realized it was going to fit into my sermon, but I also realized it was a tremendous strategy to help me in my golf game, because I was on my way to the golf course early one morning, and this song came on the radio, and I listened to it, and it's Chris Rice's song, Fly to Jesus. Y'all know that song? Not one head from the youth. Wake up, youth. Y'all with me? Them green shirts got y'all sleepy. It's warm in here, isn't it? I know some folks say, no, preacher, it's not warm in here. But it is. I was listening to Fly to Jesus as I went to the golf course. And the way I found it as a strategy for your golf game is just sing it while you're riding or walking down the court, and it'll mess your partner up, and that'll help you. I think it added 4 strokes to my opponent's score because I just kept singing. Maybe it had more to do with the singer than the song, I'm not sure. But maybe you haven't heard the words. But it is indeed the whole plan of salvation in one song. And I said, thank you, Lord, because I had heard it long before, but I hadn't heard it in a while. Listen to the words. weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, oh, raise your head for love, heavenly love, is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. There's sanctification. So fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus and live. And when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus. And live. And when your final heartbeat kiss the world goodbye, then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. And live. That's what glorification is. It is that moment when this journey has been fulfilled and we have walked the walk and talked the talk and lived the life. What will the future glorified body have? A heritage. That's what he said in verse 7. We'll have peace. We'll have joy. We'll have excitement. We'll have health. We'll have happiness. We'll have fulfillment. We'll have love. As Kathy sang a moment ago, we'll have a home, we'll have community, we'll have purpose, we'll have contentment, we'll have glory, we'll have honor, we'll have praise, we'll have wisdom, we'll have encouragement, we'll have strength, we'll have positive relationships. Are you ready? Are you ready? Just as a baby prepares for this world, we need to be preparing you. Just as the caterpillar must stay in the cocoon until it becomes that beautiful butterfly, you and I, we're still grinding away in this cocoon called the earth. But let's do our best, because one day, we'll see a new heaven and we'll see a new earth, and the old things will be passed away. And behold, all things shall become new. Blessed be the name. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you know, as a pastor, Lord, right now I have a fear. There might be someone here today just been going through the motions. And right now I just ask your Holy Spirit, oh God, your Holy Spirit to fall on this place and touch every heart, every life. Take the scales of Satan's deceptions off of our eyes and let us see clearly with our heart to your heart. Let us feel your breath upon the back of our neck as surely as you breathe into us the breath of life. And Lord, may we come to you in the pardon and forgiveness of our sins. May we say, Lord, make us new again. Make us new for the first time. Make us new, oh God. We might walk the walk and talk the talk that one day, oh glorious day, when it is our time to stand before you, we'll hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, if there's one here today who doesn't know you in the pardon and forgiveness of sin, my prayer, my hope, my desire, oh, Lord, I'm begging. May that person step out and step forward. There's one here today, Lord, who says, I've just been playing with this mess. I haven't been serious. I'm trying to do it just a little bit of my foot in heaven and a lot of my foot in the world. And I don't think much of religion. I don't think much of the church. And I don't think much of anything. But I just want to have enough in case I do die, go to heaven. Lord, let them know that's not your plan. And you've got to write their name totally committed down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today you'd like to do that. Today you'd like to do that. Today you'd like to do that. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit convict our hearts. We've heard that one day we're going to stand before you and glory can be our home if we make the choice right now. A heritage can be ours if we make that choice. And we live out our salvation. Not only the justification, but also the sanctification. Moving ever closer. More of you and less of us. Lord, you know every heart. You know the need that's here. Surely in this place today, there's one person that today your Holy Spirit is saying, you need to come to me. You need to come to me right now. This is your day. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I've got the pen dipped in the Lamb's blood, and I'm ready to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life right now. May we say yes. May we say yes. May we say yes to you, O Lord. May we fly to you, Jesus, and live. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is page 424, Heavenly Sunlight. All this morning, if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, today's your day. Today's your day. If you're here today and you're not sure, maybe you feel that you've wandered away and God has spoken to you clearly today through the music, through the prayers, through the preaching of His Word. And you know you need to make a decision. Today's the day. Today's the day. What shall we do for our Lord? He waits. And He invites us to come to Him and live as we stand together. You see all these green shirts over here, and our youth have been occupied this week in deep impact, as they expressed to us during the children's sermon. And I want us, as we close, to pray for that week, that God would continue to take seeds that they were able to plant, maybe in some of those little children's lives and some of those adults' lives and some of the lives of the people that were there. and the seeds God planted in their lives and in their hearts, that he would continue to grow that fruit. I hope you'll pray before you bring a box, that God would use that. And you're going to be till 1:30, what time? Right, Randy? Till 2 o'clock. So today until 2, the trailer will be here. Before you bring a box, would you pray? Would you pray for God to be in the midst of that box? I know that doesn't sound weird. But to say that it could be an instrument of grace and mercy, because I've been to the Lord's Cafe, and I know how there'll be folks there that are desperate. And they'll be all over those clothes. We'll have conversations with them. We'll try to share the love of Jesus Christ with them. So I hope you'll be praying about that. And I hope we'll be praying as we go from this place, because brothers and sisters, there are folks that live down Deep River Road that aren't ready if today's the day the Lord comes back and calls us all home. And that's our mission field. That's not Whitley City. That's not Rockingham. That's our mission field. May God get us busy about his business. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in his power and in his abiding presence, that we might be his justified, sanctified, and going to be glorified people in the midst of all this people. Would you pray? God, go with us from here. Be with every broken heart. Lord, I feel your spirit in this place. Maybe someone would say, Pastor, I need to have a conversation. I need to talk. Lord, you've spoken to a heart and you've stirred some things, and I thank you for stirring, Lord. And I just feel your spirit, so I just pray you continue to work a work that spirit won't end when this service ends. And that it maybe even this afternoon, decisions will be publicly made for you that need to be made. You know every heart. You know every need. Go with us from this place. Use us for your kingdom's glory in all we do. In Christ's name we pray.